Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to ScaryCast. It's good to have everybody on tonight. This is Dr. John. We got a wonderful show tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got Paul Sanders. He's a paranormal investigator. Do want to remind everybody, lots of great things coming up at the Lizard Man Festival in Bishopville, South Carolina. Friday, we're going to have a meet and greet with Lyle Blackburn, Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling, Greg Bo Watson, the artist, Matthew Delf, the Bigfoot investigator, and myself. It'll be a wine and cheese party there at the Cotton Museum, the South Carolina Cotton Museum, 112 North Chester Lane in Bishopville. On Saturday, we will have the Comic-Con and Street Festival right outside of the South Carolina Cotton Museum. It's going to be a blast. And, of course, our guest tonight, Paul, will be with us along with his group. And then Sunday, we will have drone racing right across the street. So we've got a big, big weekend planned for the Bishopville First Annual Lizard Man Festival. Do not miss it. Paul, good evening and welcome to ScaryCast. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. You're not going to miss the Lizard Man Festival, are you?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said you're not going to miss the Lizard Man Festival, are you?
Oh, no. I'll be there bright and early and ready to roll, and we'll have my group, South Carolina Paranormal Research and Investigations, will have a booth set up and ready to go. We'll have some T-shirts to sell.
Well, that's good. Everybody should buy one along with a Lizard Man T-shirt. And all the cool stuff that we're going to have. It's going to be a great time. The first annual Lizard Man Festival. And the only town cool enough to have it, Bishopville, South Carolina, where the Lizard Man was seen to absolutely terrorize that town from 1988 to 1990. And we're going to have some very special stories coming up at the Lizard Man Festival. There's actually one remaining witness to the Lizard Man still alive, and we are in the process of tracking that wonderful lady down. We are going to hopefully have her there along with some other exciting guests, who have heard some stories secondhand. And secondhand right now is the best that we can get. We will have Lyle Blackburn, the great cryptozoologist and author. He is our special guest of honor, so it's going to be a blast all day. There's nothing like a paranormal event outside of Columbia, is there, Paul?
No, there's not. We're ready to go, and I'm excited for all the events.
Well, that's good. All right, now we're going to turn the focus over to you. You and I have been talking for about a month about the world of the paranormal. We've had a good time talking. And last week I said, why don't you come be my guest, because you've got a lot of great stories. You've been out there. You've been in the field. People have asked you questions. You've answered. You've investigated. So we're glad to have you on here. The first thing I'd like for you to do, first of all, you are from Columbia, South Carolina currently, correct?
Yeah. I currently reside in Lexington. Yes, sir.
In Lexington. Well, that's a good town right outside of Columbia. And I'll tell you what, you got my favorite barbecue out there, Maurice's. So please stay there, and I'll give you a call in 2 weeks, and we'll go eat some Maurice's, okay?
All right. Sounds great.
All right, good. So now tell us a little bit about the research organization that you're a part of. I know you're very proud of it. You're a board member. Your organization has done great things. So tell us exactly who they are, what they do, how long have you been a member. Give us kind of the high-level overview of South Carolina Research and Paranormal Investigations.
Okay, well, we were South Carolina Paranormal Research and Investigations was founded on October 26th of 2007. So we're about going on our 11 years right now. We'll be celebrating 11 years in August. We were founded by Shelley Armstrong, so she's no longer with the team, but we still keep in contact with her, and we use her. We look to her for advice every now and then, and I've been a part of the team for about 2.5 years.
All right, now I'm going to interrupt you. That's what I always do. You say you're going to celebrate an anniversary in August, correct?
Yes, sir.
Do me a favor.
Yes, John.
See if ScaryCast can come down, if we can have a little anniversary celebration and talk to a lot of your members about some of your investigations. Talk to them and see, because I would love – that's exactly what ScaryCast is about. So see if they'd like to have a birthday party on ScaryCast, okay?
That, you know, that sounds really great. We already have something a little planned in Greer, but I can't see why you can't come up that night and do a recording on – I think
well,
we have something planned for August 25th. We're having like a little birthday party if you in Greer, South Carolina. If you want to come on up and join us, we'd love to have you. More the merrier.
Well, thank you very much. I've got some of my best friends in the world up in the Greenville, Easley, and Tigerville area. I'll invite them if it's okay, and we'll just have a blast at what will this be, the 10th or 11th anniversary?
This will be the 11th anniversary.
That's great. All right, well, good. All right, back to you now. Tell us a little bit more about this wonderful organization you're a part of.
Well, I was also going to add that also where we're having the celebration is in one of our members' home, and her home is haunted. So she was actually a client before she was actually a member, too. So that would be interesting, too.
Absolutely. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
At least you and I think it's fun to be in a haunted house, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, I would think Melanie sometimes thinks it's fun, I believe. That's how we get some of our members, too, is sometimes they start out as clients, and then they get curious, so they call us, and then once they kind of see what we do, then they want to join and try and figure out and help other people, too.
Well, I'll tell you something that I guess I hadn't told you before, is that 26 years ago, my mother passed away, but she's still right here with me. So I know what it's like to live in a haunted condo.
Yeah, I actually have a friend too who he lives in his my best friend lives in a house too, and his grandparents passed away in that house.
Well, I think it's a little bit of a compliment when your relatives want to hang out and stay in touch, don't you?
Oh yeah, they're kind of looking out for you.
They love you, and I'm not afraid to say that. I think it's fine to say that. If your relatives, if your parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, siblings, cousins, or whatever. Oh, my goodness. My entire house just shook. That's great. So that must mean that I have I touched someone's life. But the fact is, if they want to hang out with you, they care about you. And I think that's part of what life's about. All right. Back to you, kind sir.
Melanie, if you want to come up for the birthday party at Melanie's house, yeah, that would be totally great. We've gotten some good evidence at her house, too, and when we investigated up there. What happens is when someone asks us to come investigate their home, we usually show up, and before we even walk in the door, we're already at least recording audio. So when we come in the home, the client usually gives us a tour of the home. And so while Melanie was giving us a tour of her home, somebody mentioned one of the books on her bookshelf and that it was a good author. And, well, the author happened to be go by the name of Dan Brown, and we got an EVP of Dan Brown. So I thought that was a very interesting piece of evidence.
Excuse me? You got an EVP of Dan Brown?
Yes, sir. Yes, John.
That's pretty interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about how all that worked? And by the way, I'd like to invite anybody listening in, any friends of yours in your paranormal research group, whatever, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-753-1738. ScaryCast tonight, 602-753-1738. Yeah, tell us a little bit about how all that happened.
So, Angie was the lead in that case, and when you're a lead investigator, that basically means that you're in charge of that case. You kind of dictate what goes where and who goes where when you're investigating. So usually the lead investigator goes in the home first and meets the client and then does a walkthrough. So that's how we got that EVP. And for if you have any listeners that aren't sure what an EVP is, that stands for electronic voice phenomenon. And that's usually like voices or sounds that you don't hear with your ears until you play back a recording. For some reason, we don't hear it, but the recording picks them up.
Okay.
When she got
so now, how?
So,
yeah. Please continue.
Well, so they got that during the initial walkthrough. So before we even really actually started investigating, they got the Dan Brown EVP just walking through the home, getting a little tour.
Now, do you want to tell everyone who Dan Brown is?
He is a author, I know, but I'm not 100% sure what he has written.
Well, he wrote The Da Vinci Code.
Oh.
Huge, huge best-selling author. And that's amazing that you got one from him. So please continue.
And so we've gotten a couple of other things at that same house. A spirit box is for those who might not know, or SB7 is a little device we have that plays radio stations. And what our team likes to do is we like to put them in reverse. I know some people do it differently and at different sound lengths, but we play it in reverse. And if we hear something that is a forward, like we can hear it, understand it playing forward, we really believe that's a paranormal response. So we got a really good one at her house. When we asked, "Where are you from?" we got California to come across the spirit box.
Let's face it, when you hear the word California, that's not random, is it?
No, it's not random. It answered our question. It was also three syllables. If you get a good three-syllable word that you can make out, that's a really good piece of evidence in my eyes when it comes from the spirit box.
Now, if I wanted to buy a spirit box, would I just go online, and how much would I pay for one?
You can go online. They vary in prices depending on models. We use GhostStop. Not sure of a price right off the top of my head, but I believe they vary from anywhere to 60 to 100 depending on the model, because some of them have built-in speakers and some of them do not.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Now, one other thing, before you continue with this, there's an app, it's terrible. I just lost my mind. When we were doing an investigation at Grace on 2nd, the well-known restaurant in Wilmington, North Carolina, there's an app, and it's called Ghost Radar.
Ghost Radar.
Have you ever used that?
Our team really doesn't use a whole lot of apps because we're very unsure about them. Some of them we use like in conjunction with other things. So we use something called a portal app for our portal that our team member built. And the portal basically is just basically like an amplifier. It kind of clears stuff up. So it's really good to use with that app is what the guy who invented it for, Steve Huff, invented it. And he invented the portal. This is one of his older models. He has newer models out we don't have yet. But we use the portal app, and that's about the only app we really use on our team.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. We had some good results with Ghost Radar. And at some point, I would like to have a discussion with you, not tonight, but I'd like to have a discussion with you about Ghost Radar, and maybe we could try it out, do some empirical studies. I'm a scientist. I'm North Carolina State University PhD scientist, and what I believe is that scientists have not embraced parapsychological research like they should. And I'll say that out there to all you scientists. Right now, Matthew Delf, who is the well-known Bigfoot investigator up in Western Virginia, just right above Johnson City, he's a good friend of mine. And he and I run the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. Matt and I are putting together a procedure to investigate information from cryptids, like, you know, pictures and all this, because we want to try, we want to make sure that when people get results or when people have things that, that they want to talk about or experiences, there ought to be a way, a little, not totally standard, but there should be a reasonably standard way that you can say, all right, here's what you need to get the next time it happens. And then use that to vet or to try to determine what happened. So, you know, in trying to bring real, you know, trying to bring science to the paranormal level, because they're not there yet. I'm sorry, all you scientists, you're not.
Yeah.
So
they're definitely not.
So, you know, pardon?
I was going to say, yeah, they're definitely not there yet, because a lot of paranormal equipment is either something we've taken, say, like a DVR security system that's not really meant for paranormal, or people have come up and made their own things, and now they become popular in the paranormal, but science itself hasn't come out and said, hey, try this. It's trial and error.
Science has failed to weigh in. Let's put it that way. How's that?
Yeah, I agree.
And they don't want to. So we're going. I'm going to do the best that I can to get science to weigh in, because I think it's important. Can I tell you my story that I like to tell people about scientific research?
What's that?
Okay, the year is 1901. And I walk up to a friend and I say that I believe in 100 years there will be a small black box. It will be no more than 3 to 4 inches tall and 2 to 3 inches wide. And you can stand in your house and you can talk to someone in China halfway around the world. And they would look at me like I had lost my mind. Correct?
Correct.
They wouldn't know about satellites to bounce signals off of. They wouldn't know about cell phones. And they would tell me I was talking about witchcraft. They might even try to get me burned. Well, in 1901, they wouldn't try to get me burned at the stake, but they'd get me blacklisted in the town, I'll tell you that. And what I just described is an absolute scientific reality 100 years later. And that's the one thing, that's what I don't like about people who don't have the research initiative like you folks do, is that we've got to realize that in 100 years, we're going to know a lot more about spirits, EVPs, and everything else than we know now, correct?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Right, and you folks, you are the pioneers, and we can't thank you enough. It's like when I'm, and again, I'll probably catch all kinds of hell for this, but it's like whenever I meet a dedicated serviceman or woman, and I say, thank you for your service, and they know that I'm serious, and they say, thank you. Well, what I'll say to you and your group is thank you for your research, because not in our lifetime, but in our kids or grandkids or whatever's lifetime, the research that you're doing is going to absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely
and
will.
Constantly.
All right, please continue talking about all this stuff. I'm sorry. I get opinionated, but I'm opinionated in a positive, paranormal, and scientific way. We got to figure out what's going on because it's important.
Well, back to what you were just talking about, you know, things constantly change. You know, Thomas Edison tried to invent a phone to call the dead at the other side in like the 1920s, I believe it was. And so even back then, that was the thing they were trying to do. And I think we're getting closer and closer to it, but we're not quite there 100%.
We'll get there one day. We certainly will. Good research will get us there. Elon Musk has shown us that a private company, a publicly traded, but privately generated company can do great things, from SpaceX to whatever else. So we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, enough of my opinions and your responses, and I appreciate that. Let's talk some more, because people are listening in because they want to hear about investigations. I asked you before we talked to jot down a couple of investigations that you think people would like to hear about. So let's get on with the storytelling, because I think it's wonderful.
That's why we do it. So I had a case in Somerville a few months ago. I've actually gone to this house twice because her activity was like crazy. She had all kinds of things. She had been held down. She had seven kids, and most of them had seen some kind of man walking through. So
let me briefly interject. Somerville is a northwestern suburb of Charleston, South Carolina. It's a fast-growing town. It's known as the home of sweet tea. It's a beautiful place. I remember 20 years ago, there was nothing in Somerville. It's grown dramatically. And so you're talking about the Charleston metro area. So please continue.
All right. Well, so I've actually investigated her house. So the first time I went to her house, I was setting up motion lights. So if anything walked down the hallway and I had cameras pointed at them, they would go off. And so you can see me on camera setting up these motion lights. And I get up and I go to the back room to adjust the camera. And, you know, the Maria, who is the homeowner, she comes out of her bedroom and she walks by one of the lights and it goes off. And a few minutes later, I walked out of that back room and I walked past the light. And we got this all on camera and the light doesn't go off. So I was like, I know I turned the light on. So I double checked it and it had been turned off. So that was very interesting because I double checked and when I reviewed back on the cameras, I went to make sure that's how that all happened, and I was like, well, something turned it off, and it wasn't any of us, or I would have seen it.
So what do you think? What do you believe was happening?
I think, well, Maria says she's always had stuff going on her whole life, so I'm not sure if she had something attached to her or things are kind of drawn to her. I was unsure about those things. I know whatever's in that home it was very intelligent, because the second time I went there, as I was setting up the equipment, as I said earlier, I had always go in with my digital voice recorder on. And about 20 minutes in, you can hear me in the background talking, setting up. And really close to my digital voice recorder, you hear a voice say, "Hey, Paul Sanders." So this thing remembered me from before. And so I thought that when I got that, my jaw dropped when I was reviewing. I clipped it right away and sent it to some of my other members. I was like, "Are you hearing what I'm hearing?" And they all confirmed that they heard the same exact thing that I heard, and that it kind of shocked me.
Okay. Well, that's fairly impressive. So what happened after that?
So we got a couple of other things in that home. I speak to her actually very regularly. Just spoke to her the other day. She says it's gotten a little more quiet lately because we've given her some kind of tips on how to block things out and to cleanse her home. And she said the only thing that really happens here lately is her dog will start barking at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's about it.
Now, when you talk about cleansing the home, can you tell us some of the
So we have a couple of different members that cleanse different ways. So we have I cleanse personally. I cleanse with sage and maybe some other herbs. And I go through the home and I burn them. And we ask that the spirit leave, basically. And then we have another member that she likes to cleanse with a Tibetan singing bowl. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, John, but those are pretty cool. It makes like a ringing noise. And it's supposed to clear and disperse energy in a home. Hello?
Hello, hello. Paul, are you there? Hello, hello. This is Dr. John back again with ScaryCast, and it seems as though we have been interfered with, which is what I think, from whatever. But we are waiting for Paul Sanders to call back in. It's amazing what can happen here on ScaryCast. But I believe that something interfered with us, and please don't interfere again. Let's let Paul call back in. And let's let Paul continue his stories. And I'd ask you to please let him continue. So we'll wait on him to call in just a moment. I spoke with him. And again, the paranormal is amazing. People don't know what's happening. I'll share a story with you. This was the night before I defended my doctoral dissertation at North Carolina State University. And a member of SPADE, the Kentucky Ghost Hunters, and I went out to All Saints. We went out to All Saints Cemetery in Pawleys Island. And Kevin took a recording of everything that happened. When we got back to my house, he locked up in my study where he had all of his computer equipment. And then he came banging on my door at 3:30 in the morning. He said, "John, you have to hear this." So what he had done is he slowed everything down, and there was a child's voice that said, "Talk to me." We knew that we weren't alone. So, Paul, what I explained to everybody as I got back on is that I believe something or some spirit stopped ScaryCast, but we're back online and live, aren't we?
Yep. Yep, glad to be back. I wasn't sure what was going on. I realized I was talking to myself.
Well, so just continue talking, and if we get blocked again, I'll be back. So don't worry about that. But anyway, so you had been talking to this lady, and the last thing that I heard was that her dog had barked occasionally at 3 in the morning.
Correct. That's it. Everything has calmed down. When I spoke to her last week, she texts me periodically, and we like clients to do that, you know, keep in touch with us and let us know what's going on. And she holds a special place in my heart because she's got 7 kids, and they're all awesome. And I raised money for her and her family for Christmas last year to help make their Christmas a little brighter, especially in the events of everything that have been going on in their home.
Well, now that is a wonderful thing to hear, and I'm glad that it was you and your organization, correct?
Correct. I kind of put that out there, and then members sent me money, and then I had people from outside. I put a blast up on Facebook, and people sent me money, and we were able to raise $936 was the final total for them for Christmas. And we gave it to him 2 weeks before Christmas so she'd have plenty of time.
That's great. So I tell you what, please let me know on ScaryCast. And I think that would be a very appropriate, charitable thing to do for Christmas 2018. And I'm not afraid to talk about Christmas. I think it's a good thing. So let's make it a point to ScaryCast. We'll help raise money for that. That's a wonderful cause. So, again, thank you for that.
Oh, well, that's why, you know, that's the big reason why we do this. You want to get that evidence, and it's exciting when you get that EVP or you get that visual over video. But in the end of the day, what you really like doing, or at least in this team, is helping the people, and that's what I get the satisfaction out of knowing that they can sleep easier at night, and then, you know, helping give them that Christmas to me that. What other way to put positive energy in a home that's having a hard time, especially like with a spirit, is brighten it up with for Christmas?
That's wonderful. It's a way to protect families. You can give them joy and cheer at Christmas, right?
Right.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear it. So now, that's one story. So tell us another story. We're excited. I'm very excited. This is the most fun we've had in a long time. Tell us another story of another investigation that you and your comrades have done.
I want to say it's been about a year now. We went to Heath Spring, South Carolina. And in Heath Spring, South Carolina, there's a, I believe it's a famous revolutionary battleground called Hanging Rock, the Battle of Hanging Rock. And if you go to
Heath Spring, there's a trail. What's that near?
I believe it's, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head now, because we went there, I think it was off of 20. I'm not 100% sure where Heath Spring is right now, because, you know, I travel all over the state. But off the top of my head, but it's up north. I want to say it's above Camden, so it's up 20. Yes, it's up 20.
We love Camden. Okay, and by the way, we have a caller from 803-727. We'll get to you in a minute as soon as he finishes this story. Please continue, sir.
Okay, so we did the Battle of Hanging Rock in Heath Springs. We did a home. The actual home is actually on the battlefield. So there's a trail in, called Hanging Rock Trail right up the road, but that's not where the actual battlefield is. People get confused and think that's where the battlefield is. This is an elderly couple, and they had actually had people come out, and they had found belt buckles and stuff like that around their house from the Civil War, from the Revolutionary War. And so while we were investigating, me and one other member was up in upstairs in the home, and we hear someone come upstairs. So I radio down, because we usually have walkie-talkies, to see if anybody came upstairs. Nobody had come upstairs, and they didn't get anybody on camera. But we were actually able to get the audio of someone walking upstairs. So that was pretty cool. And then also in the same night, we had a member, she was watching the DVR, the cameras, to make sure, if anything walked through or looks interesting, she'd write it down so we could review it for later. While she's doing that, she hears something come up the back steps of the house and the back door open.
Okay.
And she went flying out that
room. Wow, that's amazing. So it was quite a night there, right?
Yes, it was very active. It was. We got a few EVPs, I believe, but that was the big highlight of the night, was the walking up the steps. And it wasn't actually
great.
Them that called us. It was the daughter whenever she comes to visit from Florida for Christmas time, she was having all this weird stuff happening to her and her RV, because she would bring her RV. And she finally convinced her parents to have us come check it out, because it was freaking her out whenever she come to visit.
Well, that's what she should have done. She should have called you folks. All right, we've got a caller from area code 803-727. Who's on the line tonight at ScaryCast?
My name is Ryan, and I actually know Paul, and I've met members of his group. And I was calling in because I wanted to get Paul to share this thing that it's one of the things that I think is fascinating about something their group does. And I'm a first time listener to the podcast. But I was hoping that Paul might share about some of the things they do that he's told me about before when they go to a new scene and they are ruling out certain interferences like power lines and the such. I think it's really cool, and I thought you might appreciate some of that, Dr. John, with your own scientific interest there, some of the things they do to help rule out certain situations.
Well, absolutely, and in terms of scientific, nobody needs to be scared of science. Science just means that we try to investigate and we try to understand what's going on. That's all science is really about. So first of all, thank you for calling in. And, Paul, what do you have to say about this?
Well, that is one of the things we do. We do go into homes and see if we can debunk any claims and see if there is any any normal explanation, I guess you could say, for stuff. So one of the things we do test is we test for high EMF. So all of your electronics in your home just about give off EMF, especially like your refrigerated appliances are really big about giving off a lot of EMF. So we test to see if, like, your alarm, if you're saying you feel like something's watching you every night when you're trying to go to sleep, we test, say, your alarm clock next to your bed for high EMF to see if you have something called EMF sickness, which is a real thing. You can go look it up. And what EMF sickness does is if you're around a lot of high EMF a lot, you'll start getting headaches. You can hallucinate. All these kinds of things. So that's one of the things we go in and we try to see if we can debunk. So we've had houses that they had a lot of paranormal activity, and their home is right underneath the main power line. And so that's one thing we test to see if possibly you have EMF sickness.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, I've heard of that in terms of when people have a lot of UFO sightings, and they tend to have a lot of high EMF reading. So, and that's a good answer,
well,
and that's an important response.
Well, also, we use K2s, which are used by electricians to test for electrical outlets and stuff. But if you're sitting in the middle of a room and there's no other electronics around you, and you start getting a little bleep of or you start getting EMF on your EMF detector or your K2, we believe that that could be paranormal also. And I've seen really good, like, questions asked with a K2. So, like, we'd say, if you're a man, can you light up the K2? And if it lights up, like, right after we say it, we kind of be like, okay, there might be something to this.
Wonderful. Well, you know, things do happen. And our caller in, I'm sorry I forgot your name. What was your name again, sir? First name?
Ryan.
Thank you for calling in. And do you have any other questions for Paul? Because, you know, this is a good time to talk about things that have happened, questions you may have and everything. Do you happen to be a member of the team, or do you happen to be just a fan of paranormal investigation?
Well, I'm not a member of the team, but I am a fan. I guess you call me a fan of the team. and Paul specifically. I was thinking about when he was talking about that, something else the team does that's really always interests me is the way they'll even research before to get information about the site and how that plays out when they're reviewing evidence. Paul, can you talk about that? Like, they do I'm always fascinated how much work they do ahead of time to really prepare for their investigations. Can you talk about that, Paul?
Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's very hard to actually do, and it can only go so far back. So what I do usually before investigation is I go look at the tax records online. Usually they only go so far back online, and if I had more time, I could probably go to the tax office and go to the library and get even more information. But usually what I do is I go on the tax records of a home, and then I go and see if I can find obituaries for any of those people on the tax records. And I have gotten a few good hits from that. There was a case in Myrtle Beach in February where I was able to find someone when they bought the home and when they died and when the wife sold the home soon after he died. So that case ended up being someone tried to actually buy that house before he bought it, and somehow they ended up not getting the deal, not going through for them, and the guy who died bought the house. 2 years later after he died, they bought the house, and, well, he's still in the home. And she has a lot of anger because she blamed him for her husband's stroke, the man who died for her husband's stroke. and she was trying to get the spirit to move on and cleanse the home. And I straight up told her, I said, you can cleanse this home all day, but as long as you're holding anger onto this man, you're just going to call him back into your home. So we actually spoke to her recently, and she wanted us to come back, but she called and said, I don't think you need to come back because I actually did what you told me to do finally, and I sat down and talked to him, and I've kind of moved on.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Have you had any other situations like that?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Every now and then you get hits online. It's really hard. We used to have a few members who were retired who could, you know, go in the library and go in the tax records and really dig on a space. But as of right now, we don't have anybody on the team that's retired who can dedicate that time. So what we do is basically what we can dig up online beforehand.
Right. Well, that's always a good thing. At least you can try to find out who used to own the house, lived in there, and whatever. Mm-hmm. And that can reveal a lot when you're talking about
a paranormal. It does, and it actually tells you who actually owns the home or not and stuff like that.
Right. All right. Well, that's a good one. So, all right, Paul, let's plow ahead with another investigation or another experience. Let us know.
All right. So another famous place we've investigated is Old South Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, Tennessee. I don't know if you've heard about that place, but it's a hospital that closed in 98, and right now it's currently closed. But what they did for many years, what they did for many years was they rented the place out for just paranormal investigations. So you go there, the building is all yours, you spend the night in the building, and you just investigate. Half the building doesn't even have power. We got a lot of EVPs. People have been touched there. We even actually got an EVP of someone like giving birth or like doing the breathing exercises.
Well, now what kind of a hospital was this? Was this a regular local hospital. And were there any known bad experiences there?
There was a few, like even some of the I haven't had any bad experiences there, but some of the things that the guide was telling us when we were there was some people have gotten scratched. So like one of the big rules, and this is also a rule of the team, is not to make anything mad, because then the owners have to deal with it. We get to leave, the owners have to deal with it. So we had any bad experiences? Not off the top of my head, but the hospital is filled with what they call the naughty nurse, and she likes to, you know, touch people inappropriately sometimes. And I was actually touched there. She touched me on my side. I believe that was her. And
so she wouldn't pass the hashtag MeToo investigation, would she?
No, she wouldn't. But there's actually, I don't know if you've seen the old Animaniacs cartoon from the 90s, but someone actually drew the nurse from the Animaniacs on the wall, so I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, that was cool, really. So I tell you what, Ryan, do you have some more questions that you'd like to address to Paul tonight?
Let's see. You know, another cool thing that they do that I really appreciate is they have in the past, I know of, done local little workshops, like at the local library, where they, you know, introduce people to what they do. And Paul probably knows off the top of his head a couple of things that they usually show there that always interest me. I think that are really cool examples of some obvious stuff that they've shown the public. I always love hearing those stories. I don't know if Paul wants to tell those or not.
Well, one of the really cool things that we're going to show also at the Lizard Man Festival, people can come up to our booth and we'll show it to them, is something we like to refer to as the Shadow Man. And the Shadow Man was caught in Simpsonville right after they got everything set up and hooked up. They were just checking the cameras to see if that's where they wanted the cameras and make sure they were straight. And then they saw this shadow, and it is such a good image that you can see the sleeve of his shirt on this shadow. And there were no men on the team that night, and there were no men in the house.
Wow.
But you can definitely tell it was male.
Well, that's interesting. Now, what else can you give us a little bit of background about the Shadow Man, or is there anything that we need to know?
Well, there's a lot. I don't have the background on him right off the top of me. I wasn't actually physically at that case, but if y'all come to the Lizard Man Festival, Angie will be there, and she can tell you everything you need to know about that, because she was the lead in charge of that case.
Okay, well, that's great. So we look forward to talking to Angie at the Lizardman Festival. All right, well, I tell you what, with our time remaining, Paul, let's do one more investigative storyline. Please stay with us if you have any questions about it. So, Paul, give us one more great investigation that your organization has done.
So recently we did one in Walterboro, and she was saying that she was clairvoyant. So she was thinking about joining the team. She still hasn't, but she said if we ever needed her help to call her. So that's a good resource to have. So we went to her house to see if we could get any evidence. And we got a few EVPs, and we also, I've only been able to do this in two places. We followed EMF through the house. So what would happen is I got a little bleep of EMF on my K2, and so I walked a few feet forward and I found it again. And I followed that around her basement for a good 2 or 3 minutes before it just disappeared. So that was very interesting. We also got an EVP of Winnie. And Winnie is the name of her dog. And the dogs were not there at the time. She had sent the dogs away. A lot of people, when we come to investigate their homes, they'll send their dogs or their children away, you know, keep contamination down.
I'll stop you and ask you a question. So you're telling me that you can get an EVP of a living entity if they are not there?
Well, I think what it was the EVP was the spirit in the home was trying to talk about the dog, I believe.
Okay.
Well, that reminded me of another EVP I was telling you about, Maria in Somerville. The first time I went to her house, she worked nights, and I used to work nights. And I was talking about what time I used to go in, and for some reason, I totally forgot what time for a second that I used to go in at work. And before you hear me on the recording say 9 o'clock, you hear 9. So it was like whatever was in that home, it read my mind.
Well, things like that do happen. Ryan, have you had any experience with things like that?
No, and I've never, I haven't been the center of an investigation by the group myself.
but and sometimes Paul shares with me some of the exciting stuff they do, and I get to see that, and that's cool. No, not for myself that way. I mean, I don't have any exciting stories like that.
Okay. Well, look, Ryan, thank you for being with us tonight and asking some great questions. And Paul, I wanted to thank you very much for being with us. It's been a lot of fun. I believe that we were interrupted by a spirit. I'll never not believe it. That's a double negative. So, Paul, do you agree with me? Or what do you think?
Oh, I definitely think it's plausible, because if it has anything to do with Maria and whatever's going on at her house, it's very intelligent, and it probably doesn't want that kind of information out.
Well, so we'll say that maybe we were interrupted. So I want to thank everybody that has tuned in tonight to ScaryCast. Paul, we've had a great time. Would you come back and talk to us some more about your wonderful investigations?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yes, sir.
Well, good. We look forward to having you. Any caller-ins, thank you very much. And next week we'll have another exciting episode of ScaryCast. We'll have actually Jack Pierce, who's a psychic, a medium, and does a lot of great things. And he's a very good friend of mine. He said he'd come on, and we'll have a great time. So a lot of great callers in next week. So Dr. John here for ScaryCast. Have a great week. We'll see you at the Lizardman Festival, June 8th, 9th, and 10th. And thanks a lot. I'm glad to have you. Have a good one. And boo. Hey, guys, was that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
How'd I do?